truth, as you have heard, it's not a building. It's not a Sunday service, 1.5 hours high by. It's not an institution. It's a family. And until and unless we understand this powerful truth, our Christian walk, it will not reach what God has for us right from the start. And our identity is very, very crucial and important. And our identity is so, I would call it, so vital and core to our foundation. And sometimes we know it cognitively in our mind. Yeah, God, our Father in heaven. Yeah, I'm a child of God. But until it becomes a revelational truth, it will not transform you. You know, we know that God loves us and He cares for us more than the birds in the field, and the lilies in the field, the birds in the air, but yet we are full of anxiety and fear and worry. There's just a disconnect. Understanding and having that revelation of who God is and who we are and who we are part of is so crucial and important for our faith journey. Now, to begin with, the church is not only a body of Christ, as we talked about it the last few weeks, and the bride of Christ, the flock of God, but the church is also the family of God. And I want to share quickly with you two truths, all right? The first truth is God is the Father who forms the family. God is the one. The church is the family of God. And it's adopted by God. God forms it. In fact, the Bible tells us before He made the world, God loves us so much, He chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in His eyes. In Christ, not our holiness, not our performance or our goodness, but in Christ. And God decided in advance, decided to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what He wanted to do. And it gives Him great pleasure. It gives God great pleasure, not pressure, but pleasure to have you as His child. He chose you in advance before the foundation of the earth. It's not about you choosing Him. He chose you. God don't choose the qualified. He qualified the chosen. And God chose you and it gives Him great pleasure. And He's the one that called us. He's the one that formed the family. And we respond by faith. The scripture tells us if we receive Him by faith, we welcome Him, He gave us the rights, the authority, and the privilege to become children of God. And that's who we are. Those who believe in Him, rely, trust in Him, in His name, who are born not out of flesh and blood, of our physical impulses or natural conception, but by a divine and supernatural birth. Right? And we are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. So God not only saved us, we are born again into His family. So we are made in the image of God in Genesis, right? In His likeness we are made. But then when we fell, God redeemed us to a much higher status. Not only in His image, but now we are sons and daughters of God. See, when God redeemed you, He redeemed you always in a better position than before you fell. And now we are sons and His Spirit bear witness with our spirit. We cried out, Abba, Father, Daddy. No more a spirit of fear, right, that leads to a spirit of slavery that leads to fear, but a spirit of sonship, His son, His life. You know, and in Ephesians, it re-emphasizes that we are no more strangers, we are no more aliens with God, but we are fellow citizens in the kingdom of heaven and with the saints and members of God's household. And to the point in Hebrews, it went on to say that Jesus, so now Jesus and the one He makes holy have the same Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. Jesus isn't ashamed. You know, we are co-heirs with Jesus. That means Jesus' inheritance, we have a shared inheritance. And we are truly sons. And Jesus became man on earth to model for us what is it like to be sons and daughters of God. He modeled for us sonship, fully man, anointed of the Holy Spirit. And God doesn't need us, but He chose. He don't need anything. He's complete. But yet He chose to adopt us. He chose to love us. He chose to have us to be part of His family. Now, unless this become a revelational truth, it will be just a cognitive thing. Yeah, I'm a child of God, my Heavenly Father. Because our identity as sons and daughters of God is anchored on our relationship with God, our loving Heavenly Father. You know, it's such a joy to see people at the border, you know, homeless, lost, marginalized. They are the least among us. And yet when God saved them, there is a transformation from an orphan. Now I am a child of the living God. That changes our life. That transforms us. Now, if we don't understand this truth, if we don't get this truth as a revelational truth that we are loved by God, He's well pleased with us. You know, when Jesus was baptized, the Father declared straight away sonship identity. Before he even start the ministry, the heavens opened and the Father affirmed, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I love deeply and well pleased." He haven't done anything yet and God is pleased. Do you know that God is pleased with you? Even while we are sinners, enemies of God, He loves us and He draws us to Himself. Now, if we don't understand this area of identity as sons and daughters in the family of God, we will adopt what we call an orphan spirit. You know, Jesus said, "I'll not leave you as orphan. I'm going to come to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come. You know, and there's going to be a regeneration. You're going to be born again in the Spirit." An orphan spirit is a set of behavior and mindset that's rooted in fear. They say it's no more into slavery that leads to fear. And there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of insecurity, a deep-seated feeling of being unloved or abandoned. It manifests itself in many ways. You know, the need to perform for approval, chronic self-reliance, perfectionism, jealousy. We can't celebrate the success of others. And difficult in trusting others, we become very competitive, we become very territorial. You didn't ask my permission. You know, very territorial. That's how often behave. You know, they want to be loved, they want to outperform others, they are very territorial. And this is a state: fear, insecurity, independence, competitive, critical in spirit, jealousy, and inability to rest in the love of our Father. That we don't have to perform. We don't have to show, to prove, to be accepted. We belong to Him. You know, and His love, His perfect love, cast out every fear from our hearts. I'm more and more convinced that when we live in fear, it's because we never understand and truly have a transformational, a revelational knowledge of His love for us as His sons and daughters. And this is the message of the good news. To those that are in broken family, abandoned, lost. And when they hear this news, it's the most powerful news. It's like, you know, from being a beggar to be a prince in a palace. This is a wonderful, wonderful good news of the gospel. It transforms our life. When we know that, we walk with confidence that my God is for me and He's not against me. If He's for me, who can be against me? And that He shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. And I have no fear. There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be fearful or worry because God the Father sees all things. And when we are in the family of God, we know that He watches over our family and the Father is responsible to provide, to protect, to be the security of the family. And that's God our Father. And I pray today that our hearts and our eyes will be open to see this powerful truth that will transform us and get rid of all the anxiety, worries, and fear, you know, and knowing that my God will be there for me. He will always be there for me. I mean, it's incredible. If they have time, they'll Dakota will tell you more story of God's incredible provision, like meeting stranger in a plane, you know, a divine appointment, an outcome, incredible flow of favor and support and breakthrough in certain areas of their ministry. And I believe that God wants to do more abundantly and beyond what we can even understand, imagine, or ask. And when we understand this, we don't walk with fear. We walk with confidence. Then we can declare, like Jesus say, I am on my Father's business. And I have my Father's backing. I have my bank of daddy with me. That's what my daughter used to say. Bank of daddy will provide everything, you know. And it's powerful. And I pray to God that we will walk with our head lifted up to know that we are part of this great family that God so wants to form. Even before He created the universe, He already have you in His mind. In fact, when you were born, He was there in your mother's womb. He saw everything. Nothing happened by chance. And our desire is like Jesus. Father, Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Very quickly, the second most powerful truth, I believe, is the family of God lives out family value. We have a unique DNA, a family value. We are branded with love. The scripture tells us, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And we are born of God. We are born with that DNA. God is love. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Like father, like son, so to speak. You know, we are born with that DNA inside us. You know, every family is different. Every families don't look alike. They don't think alike. They don't cook alike too. But we love alike. That's our DNA. We are branded with love. That's our brand. And 1 John went even deeper to say that this is how we know what love is. What is love? How do we know what love is? Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. This is love. Love is action. It's not an emotion. It's more than emotion. It's action. How do we know what love is? Jesus laid down His life for us. And then He says, and we in the family of God, co-heirs with Jesus, and we are made to be conformed into the image of His Son, like His Son. We too are to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Lay down our life. Now, this is a tall order. It's a tall call. In fact, in the early days, during those days of martyrdom, the Roman Empire, they just couldn't understand how the believers of the way the Christians are so loving to one another, even willing to die for each other. It just blew their mind. They couldn't understand the deep love. In fact, many of the historical writings talk about that, oh, how they love each other. And they're willing to sacrifice their life for each other. By this, everybody will know that you are my disciples because you are branded with love. People look at you, they know you're different. You're different. They know you're a disciple of God. And as I say in my last sermon, that if you want to love, you must learn to forgive. Forgiveness is essential for a healthy relationship in the family of God. Make allowance for each other's fault. Forgive one another who offends you. Some of the biggest problem in churches is offense. People get offended by everything. The aircon is too cold, it's too hot. Today the tech is not working, you know. Somebody took my favorite seat. Somebody took my car park. I mean, we get offended over so many things. And he said, make allowance, forgive one another. Who offends you, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive. So we have the DNA of God. God forgives. It's divine to forgive. And so we forgive because we are part of our Father. We have the Father's DNA. We love and we forgive. And it calls for very practical expression of that. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. How do you fulfill the law of Christ? When we love one another, we fulfill the law. In 1 John, it explained this, that we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God. And we remain in love, and God remains in him. By this, love is perfected with us. How God's love is perfected with us? When we love, when we remain in his love, and so that we have confidence in the day of judgment. Love covers a multitude of sin. And because as he is, we also are in this world. Now, this is a very powerful statement. I challenge you to meditate this. As he is, so we also are in this world. As what Jesus is on earth, as how he is anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, to cause the blind to see, to set the captives free. As he is, the Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. As the Father sent me, I send you. The same Holy Spirit is going to fall upon you. And the things I do, you shall also do. Greater works than this you shall do. And when we understand this powerful truth, what Jesus is, we are to be. We are to fulfill the ministry that he has started. The same power and anointing and the resources the Father gave to Jesus is the same thing he gave to us. Because as the Father sent me, the way the Father sent me, I send you. And when we go forth with the powerful love of God that will really covers the multitude of sin and drives out all fear, we begin to showcase Jesus to the world. And one of the things that we want to do in Click Really is about this. Jesus, the Son of God, modeled for us all. Let us love like Jesus. I think we have a card somewhere. Last time we print this card, right? Love like, how do we love? Love like Jesus. How did Jesus love? He laid down his life. We lay down his life. He loved the church so much that he laid down his life for the church, the bride of Christ. Love one another. Love one another. The scripture tells us in Romans, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another. Provoke each other. Outdo one another in showing honor. If there's any competition, it's, I want to love more. I want to outdo honoring the family of God more. And I like, and I will bring to a close here in Galatians 6:10. So then, if we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. Our family in different parts of the world. We ought to come together as a family. You know, when someone in the family is in need, the whole family come together to help. It's about family. The strong help the weak. The rich help the poor. We carry each other's burden. You know, some of the testimony of the woman that were rescued, and the first thing they sense in Zozo life is the love that is there. What did I do to earn this? Why are you helping me with this? You know, and it is the love of God. It's the love of God that changes everything. And so, if we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those in our household, those in our family. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Not all of us can be there at the border ministering, but we can be part of it. We can sow into it. You know, time is money. Money is time. Time is life. So we lay down our life, we lay down our time, lay down our finances to help those that are in need. And I've seen how God provide that when we begin to step out by faith. That's why I always believe mission giving is not about giving spare cash. Mission giving has always been faith giving. By faith. All my mission giving is giving what you don't have. And by faith, believing God to supernaturally provide for it. I still remember when I first go into full-time, I sold everything. Give to the building fund, mission fund, and I left my two bags. I say, this is what you see, this is what you get. And God has never failed me. Miraculous provision. But then we put our faith into action. You know? And when we put our faith to action, then we see God begin to do the supernatural. We can't see the supernatural if everything is predictable, everything is manageable, everything is controllable. But when we step up by faith, look, I look at their life, Dakota and Karana, they are taking step of faith. When Dakota told me, we're going to buy this, how many acres? 4 acres of land. I said, oh man, this is a mighty man of faith. You just came out with nothing but a vision. And I saw his two fish and 5 loaves. This is my kita. This is what I have. I'm going to sell it away. That's not enough for that acreage. But he's willing to give that 2 fish and 5 loaves. And I remember journeying and praying and saying, it's got to be a faith thing. See, God wants us to attempt great things. But it requires faith. We can never do great things for God if we play it safe, if we don't take the risk. I remember going full-time. My mom says, they don't pay a lot of money for pastors, you know. They normally want to keep the pastor very poor so that they can become more spiritual. Like as poor as a church mouse, they call it. Are we going to afford to get married? Are we going to afford about your future? I said, God is my provider. He's my boss. You know, I got married. I got married when I was a student here in Melbourne. Yeah, and it only cost me $1,000. So cheap. So get married while you're a student. It's very cheap. You know, I saw God's provision over and even in planting of this church. By the way, on our third Sunday service of Click Church, we were privileged to have Karana grandmother preaching at Brentwood Park, Bunty Collins. And then subsequently, we have Paul Collins, the grandfather, preaching at the first month of Click Church. What a legacy. And the late Paul Collins has gone to be with the Lord. But Grandma Bunty Collins in the 90s, 86, still preaching in churches. So I want to challenge us today to put our love in action. Now, this is not the normal mission collection, but we want to have a special offering. So it's called S.O. Sozo Life, all right? Take a picture of this. That's the bank account for Mission Fund. And open up your bank app. I want you to sow a faith offering. Not spare cash, faith offering. And believe that God will provide seed to the sower. You want God to provide more seed to the sower? You sow. If you don't sow, there'll be no seed for you. If you want to know about sowing and about seed, go and talk to Ming. Ming expert is about sowing and seed and, you know, exotic flowers and things like that. Sowing. And I want you to step, exercise your faith. Don't let your faith be dormant, you know. Everything is predictable, it's controllable, it's manageable. It's time to let go of control. He said, God, you are in control. Planting Click Church was a case like this. I remember someone came up to me, who is going to support you? You know, planting this church. In my mind, my rational thinking, yeah, I'm going to get a night shift job, you know, maybe in a post office 3 nights a week and then support myself to church planting. But then the Lord rebuked me. Say, I call you, I guide, I'll provide. And meeting someone for the first time in my life, you know, don't even know this person don't even know me. At the end of the dinner, say, Pastor Ken, I'm going to support you for this church planting. I don't even know I'm going to meet this person. It was like more by accident. So God is able to provide. Now, we want to sow. We want to take the word of God, says, this is the opportune time. I mean, not every Sunday we have Dakota and Karana here, all right? So this is the opportune time. Say, Lord, I want to sow this special love offering, this special offering to Sozo, which is on top of the normal mission support. And I want you to exercise your faith to believe how God can multiply your seed. And if you really need, like, you want to give by cash, some people like to give by cash. I was just talking to Pastor Randall. We don't have the envelope like we used to have now. It's just give cash directly to them, all right? Give them a Pentecostal handshake. You know what Pentecostal handshake? I remember I was so poor as a student, and the pastor gave me a Pentecostal handshake, and I felt something in the handshake, you know, and it was like $50 bill there. Give a Pentecostal handshake, amen? A blessing handshake. See, look, you will never lose out when you give. You know why? Because you are portraying who your Father is. God is a giver. God is a giver. That's why he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when you receive, you are blessed. But what he's saying is you're more blessed to give. All right? Receiving, we get blessed. But you're more blessed when we give. Because this is God's desire. He gave us his Son. Through his Son, we can be adopted into his family. He not only gave us his Son, he gave us the inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We are reigning with Christ. And he's, you know, he called us his brothers and sisters. Not only that, God not only gave you his Son, he gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to be with us, to empower us, to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to give us wisdom, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. What more will God not give to you? In fact, he says, I give you my Son. What more will I not give unto you? If you asked, if you ask your earthly father, you know, bread, will he give you stone? Fish, will he give you snake? No. So when we have this fresh revelation that our resources is with God, he owns the cattle in the thousand hills, and we are not to be fearful. Every great thing done for God has to be by faith. Click Journey, 20 years, is all by faith. Everything is by faith. I mean, we didn't have it all worked out. We didn't have all the money. In fact, when we want to borrow money to buy the first building, the mortgage broker look at us and says, you can't even pay your pastor. You know? How are you going to borrow money? And when we got the loan, he himself says, I don't know why they loan it to you, but God must be on your side. So when we walk by faith, life is challenging. Some of us, we are living boring life because it's so predictable. It's so manageable. There's no more excitement. Come on. We got to take the faith journey. We got to step out and walk on water and exercise our faith. Then our faith will grow. In fact, everything that God desired to give you is being locked out because we don't assess it by faith. By faith, we can access to all that is in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there's no limit. There's overflowing provision. Everything that you need is in the kingdom of God. That's why when we seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you. There's not shortfall in the kingdom of God. And our Father is not a God of just enough. He's a God of much more, even more, abundantly, above and beyond. That's our God. And when we begin to showcase the branded DNA of generosity, of faith, of giving, and loving, we see God confirm his words with signs and wonders. When was the last time you experienced a miracle? Now is the time. I just got a text. Remember about the lady that all members die at the age of 50 from Auckland, and how I was called to pray for her out of the blue and call her and God powerfully heal her. She just texted me 2 days ago. She says, suddenly something happened to her and she had this incredible pain in her abdomen and she thought she's going to collapse and die. And she went to the toilet and she was just crying to God. And said, God, I'm a child of God. Began to stand on her identity in God and began to claim the Father's healing. Instantly, she was healed. She wrote to me, instantly, the pain left. I've never experienced such instant healing. God is still at work. Amen. He wants more children to be born to his kingdom. Especially the least, the lost, and the last. That's the hope, the message of hope. You don't have to stay in there. I mean, to look at Dakota life from a boy soldier involved in this war for years and years, so many people died, and how God redeemed him. God is looking and desiring a big family. And the message is still there. Come, be part of this family. And I pray to God that you will act your faith today. Act out the love of God in you. The more we showcase unhindered expression of our Father, of our family, of love, faith, generosity, giving. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, running over, overflowing. That's our God. He is no man's debtor. He invites us to believe his word so that faith can be activated and take action. And God is going to be showing up in an amazing way in our life. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. I'm going to invite right now the worship team to come. Now I know